Your recording just started. You may now begin.
Hey,
thank
you again, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Mariam, you do roll call.
Yes, thank you, Tiffany. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Open Policy Meeting on 15th of December 2015. On the call today, we have Tapani Tavanin, John Carr, Bram Fudzulani, Remy Mweke, Ed Morris, Akin Remy Peter Taiwo,
Amor Elsada, Marilia Marcel, Klaus Toll, Christopher Dennis, Nora Abusita, Sam Dafanko, Zani Badi, Shen Carr, Rafik Damas, and from staff myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Over to you, Tapani. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mariam. Our first agenda item today is guest star Nora Abusita talking about the DPRD update. And without further ado, I'll note that we don't have that long agenda today, so you can take a fair amount of time if you like, Nora. But over to you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I think I want to give you an overview of DPRD first, but allow a little bit more time for questions and a discussion. Thank you for inviting me today. We were hoping to update you all on the department and its work in Dublin, but the meeting was extremely busy, and I'm very happy that I have the opportunity to speak to you now. Just for purpose of background, the Development and Public Responsibility Department is probably the newest department at ICANN. The activities themselves are not all new, but it was really an effort to streamline and formalize all our public responsibility activities within ICANN and add to them any missing links or pieces. It came as a recommendation from the panel on public responsibility, but also came from the will and the need from ICANN leadership to give more importance and more attention to programs that strengthen the community in a very measurable and specific way. So the focus areas for the department, as you probably know already, are currently three. We review them very regularly. The reviews are a result of discussions with the community, with staff, to try and identify gaps. We work very closely with the regional offices of ICANN and the regional representatives of ICANN to try and understand what every region needs, and we update the focus areas accordingly. So the first area is supporting education and academic outreach. Then, Lauren, you're going too fast. Thank you. Then supporting the next generation. And for the next generation, it's really the next generation of ICANN community members, the next generation of ICANN staff, anybody who really operates in our world. And then finally, we enhance and we support participation in global internet cooperation and development. Next slide, please. So many of you are familiar with and have gone through some of our programs for Next Generation. The fellowship program has proved to be one of the most successful programs at ICANN, and we are constantly reviewing and working on this program to make it more effective and more inclusive. We also focus a lot on newcomers. We work with them on their orientation and try and make ICANN meetings to them as painless as possible. We have started a new program called Next Gen. We've had a few rounds of that, and it's proved to be very successful. It focuses on a younger crowd, and we literally hold their hands through an ICANN meeting. Just from our very short experience, this program has been amazing because a lot of these young people remain engaged and try and find their way into existing ICANN structures so that they can participate more effectively. And then most recently, we've become responsible for remote participation at ICANN meetings, as well as remote hubs that connect different regions to the ICANN meeting itself. Next slide, please. So for fellows and NextGen, very quickly, we are receiving more and more applications for both fellows and NextGen. Unfortunately, our budget allows for limited numbers. For Marrakesh, we are looking at expanding those numbers just because the Africa meeting itself is going to be a little bit bigger. But we try and select the kind of the most qualified or the most promising participants for both programs. Next slide, please. As far as supporting education academic outreach, we have two tracks. The first one is the online learning platform, which we established in order to house a lot of the material that already exists for training purposes, a lot of the presentations. And so we've made it available and open to the community, and anybody who's interested in learning about ICANN or internet governance. But it also now houses a lot of new courses that were identified as needed by the community. For academic outreach, we create a lot of the materials that is used by our global stakeholder engagement team when they go out and speak to either universities of school or schools. But we also support things like presidents or board members going out into universities to speak when we're at ICANN meetings. Most recently, we're collaborating with USC Annenberg School on internet diplomacy course. Next slide, please. I hope many of you have seen ICANN Learn. If you haven't, please go log on and see it. I would like for you to either contribute with content or let us know if you see any gaps or any materials that are missing there. This too has proved to be a successful platform, but it needs to grow a little bit more. We are now testing some courses in languages that are not usually covered by our language services team, so we are prompting community members to contribute with local content in order to grow that section of the platform. Next slide, please. Very quickly on participation in global internet cooperation and development, we've been very active with several organizations, the World Economic Forum, the World Summit Awards, Net Mundial Initiative. Sometimes we sponsor parts of the events if they fall into the department's remit. Sometimes we support them with creating content for them, either on the online learning platform or materials. So our participation there varies greatly. And we are always looking at other organizations that we would either benefit from or that would be effective for us to be organizations where we can be effective. Next slide. This is a very quick overview of what we've been doing with the World Economic Forum. I don't need to go into those details, but it's just to give you an example of the kind of work that we've been involved in with the World Economic Forum. Next slide. This is the end of the slide deck. The one other thing that our department is involved in is supporting a few of the discussions that have been ongoing with the community around certain themes. And I think this group in particular is interested in the discussion around public interest. I think the slide decks now are over, but I'm happy to talk to you a little bit about where we are with public interest. But before that, I'd like to stop and see if there's any questions about our programs themselves before we move into the kind of meatier discussion.
I see Marilia has her hand up. Marilia, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pani. This is Marilia for the transcript. Thank you very much for your presentation, Nora. My only question with regards to I Can Learn is that I haven't been through all the materials, but I have taken a look, and it seems that we have interesting material there that for educational purposes and as part of larger courses on internet governance. My question is, we had a group of people organizing ICANN coming from different universities from Global North and South that got together on some meetings before trying to identify how it could be better organized among ourselves to include ICANN-related issues on our practices. And I remember that Olga Cavalli was the convener of this particular meeting. So my question is, do you have plans to reach out to this group or at least to some academics? Because I think that there are a quite extensive group of academics involved in ICANN, and sometimes having the information out there is not enough. We need to reach out with the information to make sure that to arrive at the destination. So if these contacts have been made, and of course volunteer myself to follow up and discuss how we could use it in this part of the globe. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. We're always seeking to connect with community members who have content. We have been working with groups, but I will take you up on your offer and follow up with you. I know that there is a space on the online learning platform that houses a lot of Spanish content for the Spanish-speaking community, but any other efforts that where we can support or we can take the content, curate it, and put it on the platform, I welcome. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Marilia and Nora again. And I see Christopher Dennett next on the queue. Christopher, please. Hello, Chris. Okay, it sounds like his mic isn't working, so maybe I'll read out his question from the chat. Mariam, would you care to do the honors and read it from the chat?
Sure, Tapani. So the first question we have is from Fazani, and she said, can you... her question is on slide 8. Can you elaborate on how you choose the meetings and organizations you support financially or in kind?
So there's two things. One, we do get a lot of requests for sponsorship, and we've developed a very robust criteria for going through them. And the criteria was developed in collaboration with the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team and other parts of ICANN. And so this is kind of the one of the ways we respond to requests is that we take them, we put them through the assessment process, and then we come up with a recommendation. A lot of times it is not DPRD itself that it kind of follows through, but we recommend it to a different ICANN department or even community. The other way we do this is more recently we've been working with the regions to try and understand if they have had any gaps in engagement. And so we look at their regions to see where we've been effective, where we've had gaps, and we identify organizations there that we need to do more with.
Thank you, Nora. There's a question here from Christopher Dennett. He says, I'm part of the next-gen group at ICANN 54. I was part of the next-gen group at ICANN 54. One thing we spoke about was fellowship funding focuses predominantly on countries with lower GDPs. I was just wondering if there was any discussion about making the fellowship program up more access to people from other countries.
Thank you. This is an excellent question, and we've heard a lot from community members about the selection criteria for fellowship. We've used agreed-upon criteria from the World Bank in the past, but this has seemed to not work very well with us in the past few years. Some of the countries that seem to be in much need of help have been identified as, having higher GDP and thus not qualifying. And so we are currently looking at revising this criteria. Very soon we will announce a group, first within ICANN, to try and study what is out there in terms of other criteria that we can potentially adopt. And then we will start a discussion with the community to see how best to update this criteria and make it more inclusive. So not only are we looking at people from, you know, areas with lower GDP, but we're also looking at underrepresented society members or community members. So right, we're looking at people with disability, we're looking at indigenous groups and so on and so forth. This is not an easy task, I'm sure you can imagine, but I'm hoping that we would start working on it sometime in January. We would update the community in Marrakesh, and hopefully by June, July of next year, we would have something to share with you.
Okay, thank you for questions. And Nora, do you want to continue? Anything else? I understand you want to have some more here.
So very quickly, I wanted to update the group on the discussion on public interest. And many of you have been involved either in one-on-one conversations or in sessions even at Dublin and others. The definition of public interest, I think we've attempted to work on it. The panel on public responsibility has produced a definition that was accepted by some and not really accepted by others. So we decided to revisit it and to start the conversation again with the community. From our side as staff, we see our role as a support role, and so we've taken the past few months to do some desk research to try and understand what a definition of public interest would mean for ICANN internal operations. We've also looked at other definitions for different organizations and corporations. We agreed with the community members that we would put all our research findings in a wiki that we would share with all of you, and this is almost ready. I'm just waiting for last findings from a couple of departments for ICANN. And then we are happy to support any discussions around the theme, and I believe that Marrakesh will have a session on that. This is the update around public interest, but I'm happy to answer any questions because I know this group in particular is very interested in it.
Thank you, Nora. Let's see. Do we have any difficult questions for Nora about public interest? I'm sure we have many people interested in that. Questions, comments, anyone?
Hi, Stefani. We have a question from Rafiq. He says, okay. Can we get an exact date when the research findings will be online? Please, not the ASAP.
Okay, ESAP,
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't quite get that.
This is from Rafiq. Can we get an exact date when the research findings will be online? Please, not the ASAP.
Yes, Rafiq. I know we've had some delay, and the delay was really caused by the fact that we expanded our research internally to cover all operations within ICANN. So I'm hoping by Monday, even if we're not complete, and then we can update it later, that our research would go live.
Thank you very much, Nora. We've got a question from Robin Grass. What criteria was used to determine public interest commitments, or PICs, for new GTLDs?
Thank you for the question. I think it's going really into the specifics, and certainly I wouldn't determine any criteria. Again, all of these things are going to be looked at in detail by the community, and wherever research or background is needed, we're happy to support that. But I think it's important to clarify that we're in no way going to be leading the conversation. We will just be working in the background.
Thank you very much, Nora. This is a question from Fazani. She said, can you please brief us on why some agreed and some didn't agree with the definition?
This is my personal view. I think the definition itself didn't have any problems. It is how we got to the definition. Some people felt that the panel was not representative enough, or that the process, the proper process, wasn't followed in creating the panel. So it's more about how we got there rather than what the output was. And we recognize that, and that's why this time around we're kind of taking a back seat and allowing or, you know, supporting the community in that discussion and allowing it to progress at its own pace.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you. Ed Morris is asking, how is public defined in public interest?
Public hasn't been defined. So this is another thing. If the one point that was from the panel's work, I think the phrase that was underlined was within ICANN's remit. Public itself wasn't really considered. I think maybe the background to it is the public is everyone. But again, another thing to look at or to note when we're working on background research.
Thank you, Nora. Fazani is asking, so the process will be set by the community?
The process, yes, will be defined by the community. So we're just doing background research to support any process. We have had indication and discussions from the community that there is a need to have a formal discussion on the definition. And, you know, in parallel, we started doing the research. But the process will be defined by the community.
Thank you very much, Nora. Fazani is asking, are we going to discard the work that has been done if people weren't happy?
Sorry, which work that people were unhappy with? The panel work, honestly, I mean, it's not that people were not happy with it. It's more they were not satisfied with the process. Now, in terms of the panel work, it's twofold. Part of the recommendations of the panel were to establish the Department of DPRD, so basically for ICANN to focus on public responsibility programs in a very measured way and to have a department that focuses on that. And the other part of the panel's work was to develop a definition. And so I don't think all the work was lost, to be honest, and I think there's a lot of the background research that was put into defining the public interest from the panel will be very useful. So, you know, I see it as a, you know, part of the process.
Thank you, Nora. At this point, I noticed Marilia has her hand up. So, Marilia, please go on.
Thank you, Tapani. This is Marilia speaking. Well, it seems to me that this discussion is indeed very, very important, and it is popping up in different scenarios. If we look at just recent processes, it was included the notion of public interest in the Net Mundial Outcome document. It is included in the WISIS document. It is, of course, a part of ICANN discussions. It is included in the document that has just been published with the support of the Dutch government on what is the public core of the Internet, how to manage it as a global public good. So I think that regardless of the fact that we have legitimate issues with this concept, and regardless of the fact that it is still very slow, there is a genuine interest from the community, and not only ICANN community, to better pinpoint and pin down this concept into something that would be useful. So my suggestion to Nora and her team would be maybe to issue a call like ICANN issue calls for studies on the domain name industry in certain regions, such as the Middle East and Latin America, more recently a serious call that asks for organizations or research groups to present themselves in order to conduct a serious research on not only the basis of this concept and try to track back where it comes from and the different meanings that the concept has been given in different regulations and legal, cultural, and political environments, but also how it has been applied recently in Internet governance debates. And if we can have this background, and maybe it gets to a point in which we can anchor ideas to more down-to-earth and concrete principles, maybe we can do something useful with it. I don't think that it is a luxury to do it, because it has been something that has appeared from different sides. So it is clear that the interest is out there. So if ICANN has the resources, I think that it would be a very good way to apply these resources to issue a call for a study on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. This is very helpful. And, I mean, first of all, once we publish the wiki, you will have access to all the research that's been done. Hopefully, we will be able to identify gaps there and, you know, ask for further work if needed. But I agree with you. There's a lot. I mean, from what I've seen, there's so much, and it's all scattered. So just kind of pulling it all together and looking at what's available will be a big task in itself.
Okay, thank you, Nora. Do we have any more questions here for Nora? Are we totally exhausted the issue of public interest already? Or maybe the remaining questions are too difficult to answer here. So, Nora, do you have anything else you want to tell us at this point? Shall we move on?
No, thank you for your time. And, you know, as always, happy to kind of join your call every now and then to update you on our programs. This is a particularly important group for us because many of you have gone through some of our programs and you all support us very well. So thank you again for inviting me.
Okay, thank you very much, Nora, for being here for us. It was very interesting to hear what your group is doing and at least starting the discussion or having a little discussion of what the public interest actually is. So thank you very much. Okay, let's move on with our regular agenda here. But the next item is the preparations for the GNSO meeting there on Thursday. At this point, I'd like to hand over to our policy committee chair, Amr, if you could lead on this discussion. Amr?
Thanks, Tapani. This is Amr. Okay. Well, normally we go through the GNSO Council agendas, particularly the motions for this part of the NCSG open policy meeting. I believe we have four motions for Thursday's meeting. First one being a motion to initiate a PDP, a policy development process on new GTLD subsequent procedures. This is basically a PDP that will effectively launch another new round of GTLD applications. So this motion was made by a councillor from the registry stakeholder group and hasn't been seconded yet. I've gone over the issues report, but to be very honest, this is a topic that is generally not one that I've been very involved in. So I don't think I'd necessarily be the right person to flag any problems with the issues report. I was wondering if there's anybody on the call today who would like to make any comments on this issues report or perhaps point out things we like, things we don't like. But again, this is a final issues report, and in the GNSO's process to develop GTLD policies, this issues report will not be changed. The GNSO Council will simply either vote to adopt the issues report or not. If it chooses in favor of the issues report, that means a PDP will be formed, will begin, and a PDP working group will be formed. And the voting threshold for an issues report, I believe, is a simple majority. So if anyone has any comments on this right now, I, for one, would be grateful to hear them. Thanks. Okay, Klaus, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Klaus for the record. I find it very interesting that we talk about this in a week where basically, as you might have seen in Circle ID and other publications, the danger of existing new GTLDs are failing. And my question here is quite simply, do we have to rush into a new round of new GTLDs? Wouldn't it be much more important to look what happened in the first round, do some research, analysis, and learn, and have some lessons learned before we start thinking about a second round? Just straightforward comment from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Klaus. I believe that is a legitimate concern, and probably a sound way to move forward. My understanding is that there was a group that had convened to try to look into the issues you mentioned, and this was sort of as a preliminary step prior to the publication of the preliminary issues report for this PDP. So although they didn't really, to my knowledge, I don't think they achieved the sort of outcomes that that would have addressed the concerns that you've raised. But it is something that they have looked at, and I believe there are some topics in the issues report that sort of ask the PDP working group to look at these things. I will also mention that this is something that's been in the works for a while now. This isn't a new topic. We've been discussing this PDP on the GNSO Council for quite a few months. There was an amendment made to the motion a while back. I think it was in Buenos Aires, maybe, when the original motion was submitted to the GNSO Council to request the preliminary issues report. But beyond that, if there are specific concerns you have, Klaus or anyone else, please let me know. We could at least bring.
Yeah, this is Kathy. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm in the car.
Yeah, we can hear you, Kathy.
Okay, terrific. I join Klaus and wondering why we're doing this now. My sense of the group that convened on the new GTLDs was those who wanted to push a second round as soon as possible. Some of us aren't out of the first round now. There are communities that are stuck in endless limbo. The International Rugby Board and the sports community are still stuck in independent review processes that created an artificial appeals process. So we're not getting all the information. Those who wanted to, like, lead the way are, frankly, the big portfolio applicants. And I think there's a lot we should learn from the small registries and the community registries, and they're not even through this round yet. I think it's really premature to come out with an issues report yet until we better assess some really horrendous problems that are still taking place, and that frankly occupied some of our attention so that we couldn't participate in these other rounds. We kind of figured, let's finish round one before we analyze it and go on to round two. There's a lot of missing data here.
Okay, Kathy, if I could ask you a question on this. The missing data and the analysis that is required, is this something that can be done as the PDP working group is doing its work? Or is it something you feel...
I don't know. I haven't read this issues report, Amar. Amar, there's okay. Too much stuff on the table. No one summarized it. I haven't read it. But I know that there were a number of voices missing from the process. Because they're still stuck trying to get through round one. A lot of communities are stuck.
Yeah, okay, I see your meaning. I take your meaning in that. And my assumption was that these issues would be brought up during the course of the PDP working group's efforts. That was my assumption. It was my hope as well. And I would have also assumed that folks who do have or who have been suffering problems as a result of the previous rounds might have or should have really brought these things up when the public comment period for the initial, the preliminary issues report was open. But the way I see it, there will be an opportunity to discuss these issues once the PDP has started. And the impression that I got as well is that there wasn't enough pushback during the public comment of the preliminary issues report to sort of hold this PDP back. But again, I'm not very well.
Let me ask a separate question. How many PDPs are we going to have in parallel? We've got the rights protection mechanism. PDP.
Yeah, we've got this one, the rights protection, post-EWG, PDP. Yeah, so there's going to be at least these three big ones. There's also going to be the cross-committee working group on the auction proceeds.
Can I urge that this is a good one to delay because we haven't finished round one. If we're going to delay any of these, why don't we delay this one and then look at the issues report once again when we finish? We've got so much stuff on the table, and we can't staff all this stuff in parallel anyway.
I have no personal issue with delaying this PDP. We could make a request based on that, but I would prefer if we do that based on concrete reasoning. One of them, obviously, is a huge number of quite large PDPs that will be running in parallel. I would have preferred that we had brought this up a little earlier in the process, but we could ask.
We've been a little busy.
Yeah, I know. And what we could also do is ask for this motion to be deferred, but then that would only give us a month to the next GNSL Council meeting when we would have to vote on this motion. And, of course, alternate scenarios would be that the Council decides that, yes, we could delay this PDP. I don't see that. I don't believe that would be necessarily realistic. I think particularly the registries have been pushing for this PDP to move forward, and the voting threshold to
initiate is
rather low. Yeah. And the voting thresholds to initiate a PDP is rather low, so it's not easy to block. But we could ask for a deferral for this motion. We could ask to have a discussion over the next month and see who's thinking what. Those are my thoughts. If others have any other thoughts, please share them. Thanks. I'm sorry, I missed the cue. Marilia, you have your hand. You can go up. You can go next, please.
Thank you, Amar. This is Marilia speaking. I completely agree with everything that has been said so far. I don't think that we are in the position or we have the necessary information to start another round. I just think that it is virtually impossible for us to block this decision to be made because the contracted party house wants this very badly, and they have allies on the contracted side. So I think that we should prepare, and there is an ongoing process that, in my view, there are three different tracks that are already on motion, and this is preparing the ground for us to start a new round. Maybe not now. Probably this will be a PDP that will last for at least 2 years of discussion. So we're not looking at a new round now. But we have a process that is the CCT that we're going to discuss as another point in the agenda that is being formed to analyze consumer trust and consumer choice. We have all the evaluations that are being produced by staff. We have the subsequent procedures starting, and underlying all that, there is a lot of metrics and studies on acceptance of the new GTLDs that have been published. So I think that the ground is laid, and it will be very hard for us to stop this now. I don't know if you saw, but they are going to vote the charter together with the approval of the issues report. So actually, if we ask for a deferral, we would need to ask for a deferral on both, and I don't think that this would be very useful because, as you mentioned, this would give us another month. So I'm going to stop for now, but when you move on to the charter, considering that I don't think we'll be able to block this, I think that since holidays are coming, we need to start to think strategically what are the key points for us. In this PDP, the working group will be divided and broken into five different subgroups, and I don't think that we can staff them all equally, so I think we need to define where our priorities are. Thanks.
Thanks, Marilia. This is Amar again. That is what you said is absolutely true about the charter. It's part of the staff effort to improve the efficiency of GNSO processes. It was suggested that charters now be included in final issues reports. But again, of course, the GNSO Council could opt to ask for a charter drafting team. So that is one thing we could possibly work on if we feel this might be helpful. If we feel we could ask for a deferral for this motion, could consider whether we think a charter drafting team might be a good idea, and whether the charter drafting team can somehow make sure that all the concerns that have been voiced here today or others that may come up over the next month could be included in the charter to make sure that it is in scope of the PDP working group. But then, of course, this does not it doesn't address the issues of just a lot of work overload on a limited pool of volunteers. But yeah, I'm getting a sense that so far folks are in favor of not just deferring this motion, but actually postponing this PDP. We have a couple of days to work out a sort of a statement, if you will, or perhaps some sort of unified position on why we think this PDP should be postponed. If there are other reasons out there besides volunteer overload, which is a problem that every group is having, would be good to just try to sort of make a list of the reasons why we think the PDP should be postponed.
Again, Ahmed, that there might be a reasoning to do it after the end of round one. As we're still, as hundreds of PLDs are still in contracting, and others are still not even at that point.
Okay, so
we may not have learned all our lessons yet. It's the trailer. Okay. Anyway, just wanted to add that. I know you know it, but I just thought it.
No, yeah, you're perfectly, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of new PLDs that are still in contracting. I think there are some that still have been contracted, but still have not been delegated, if I'm not mistaken. There still is a lot from the previous round that is still up in the air, and that is also a valid point that we could make on during Thursday's meeting.
And Klaus,
you're next in the queue, so please go ahead.
Yeah, Amma, as far as I understood you, on the one side, the PDP basically starts to a new round. On the other hand, we are saying the research will be done during the round to see if it makes sense to have a second round. I don't find it consequent. I think it would be much, much more consequent to really wait till everything is implemented, if everything is run for a while, and then we can actually really have a look just in order to get some more business going for people. I don't think is very wise at that point. And I'm aware that we will lose at that point, but at least we should make a point on that point and say, look, we know we lose, but we think for that and that reason, it doesn't make too much sense.
Okay, sounds good. Any other comments on this motion? I think we should probably, considering the number of comments we have received, we should probably follow up with this topic on list and just make sure that we've captured everything that's been said. I don't know if the transcripts of this call will be made available before Thursday's meeting, but the recording probably will be, and I'll remind, I could probably go back to the recording and make sure that all the points have been captured accurately. Is there anything else on this motion? Okay, not seeing any. Move on to the next motion. Okay, the next motion is a motion for the GNSO Council to adopt the final report of the Privacy Proxy Services Accreditations Issue PDP Working Group. This is a PDP that has been going on for a while. I'm going to give the mic the floor to Kathy to talk about this. I'll note that there was and Kathy knows this better than any here. But we just got an updated final report circulated to the council list just a few minutes ago, I believe. But Kathy, would you please speak to this final report? Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me, Emma?
Loud and clear.
Hear me now?
Go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you, Kathy.
With apologies, there's an echo. I'm now in a parking garage.
Okay, I don't know what was circulated to you 15 minutes ago because I'm not on the council list. But in brief, here's what's happening. The Proxy Privacy Accreditation Group, as you know, has been meeting for 2 years to try to come up with the rules for requesting, for accrediting proxy privacy service providers and accrediting them. We opened up an interim report over the summer. 21,000 comments came in. We therefore delayed our final report to council and created sub-teams that reviewed each and every comment. It was a very long process. And I'm still not sure we've got all of them, but we made as good an effort as we could. We really made a good faith effort to get these comments. We have a final report that both talks about accreditation. There were some sticking points at the very end. One was whether we have to accredit law firms. And then the other is what we do with law enforcement. So we punted on law enforcement. We have what's called a request template for intellectual property owners to request proxy private, you know, data, the customer's data under a proxy privacy provider. But law enforcement, we basically said that proxy privacy providers and registrars will follow their applicable law. And so we're not mandating any rules on disclosure on that because it became very difficult. If you mandate disclosure to law enforcement in a different country, it became very, very complicated. We didn't go down that path. In terms of law firms, obviously you could expect there was a huge pushback from lawyers about the confidentiality of client relationships. And so basically it's going to be left to kind of an abuse sense. If the law firms abuse, basically become proxy privacy providers just to shelter their clients, then there may be a problem, and that will be developed further, and there could be complaints to ICANN on that. And those customers, that law firm could be deaccredited or could kind of be taken offline by the proxy privacy provider or the registrar they're working with. But basically, we did not define law firms to be registered privacy providers. Sorry, that was a convoluted way of saying how we got to the end point. We had a final report, but to the working group, there was no circulation. We kept asking for the final report that had everything in it. And then when we finally got it, it didn't have everything in it, and it particularly didn't have something that was very important to us called the jurisdictional waiver. If intellectual property owners or their agents mishandle the data of the customer, mishandle that battered woman's shelter, the dissident, or the advocate's data, and say publish it, we wanted a place where we could sue them. And so we went, and we may not be able to reach them. They may be, you know, in some place that they're not suable. And so what we did was we went to the precedent, which they required of us 15 years ago, which is that registrants have to agree to be sued on domain name issues where the registrar is located. So we said, okay, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And now intellectual property owners and their agents, which we call the requester and the rights holder, have to agree to waive jurisdiction to be sued where the privacy provider is located or where they designate. Sometimes it's unclear where the provider is located. And so that was agreed to. It didn't make the final report. We raised a ruckus, and I think it was already circulated because Stephanie sent it to me, so I think it was circulated a few days ago. I don't know what corrections were circulated 15 minutes ago. Sorry, that may be too long, but that's the wrap-up of 2 years' worth of work. Thanks very much. Back to you, Amr.
Well, thanks for that, Kathy. Before I Sam, I see your hand going up and down in the AC room. I'll ask you to speak in a moment. I just wanted to make one point and ask one question to Kathy. From my understanding from the council list is that the business constituency are going to ask for a deferral of this motion to the next council meeting in January, and the reason being that they believe that this is a very loaded final report that needs careful consideration and a really thorough read before the council votes on it. So I just thought it was noteworthy to mention that right now. My question to you, Kathy, though, is overall, how do you feel about this report? Has the report gotten full consensus of the PDP working group? I don't recall anyone from NCSG filing a minority statement on this report. But this is something that would be helpful to help guide our counselors on whether we vote to adopt the final report or not. So do you feel good about this report in general, and has the report gotten the full consensus of the PEP working group?
Well, let me ask Amr, since I'm not on Adobe Connect, are Stephanie or James Gannon on this call? Because if so, we should ask them as well, and David Cake, all members of the working group. So let me pause for that. If there is anybody there, we should move on.
David, Stephanie, or James in the Adobe Connect room.
Okay. Then I'll speak for myself, because I know Stephanie has some ongoing concerns. But this was a case in which we had the time to raise our concerns, and I have to say we painstakingly raised each and every one of them, at least all the ones on my checklist. Did we get all the answers we wanted? No. No, that you never do in a policy like this. But we worked very, very closely with the registrars, who shared many, many of the same concerns in terms of not wanting to willy-nilly have to hand over data from their customers. There was a strong privacy link between non-commercial stakeholders group and the registrars on this. Registries, frankly, were very quiet, and I'm surprised the business constituency is delaying this now, since they've been pushing it the whole time, particularly the intellectual property constituency. So maybe you can explain to me what deferral means, but I think this is an awful lot better than where it started, and we worked very hard for a balance. Do I love the fact that this existed? No, but we were mandated to create it by the GNSO Council. I think we've created something that's as fair and balanced as it can be. But I'd love your thoughts, too. You're part of the working group.
Oh, thanks, Kathy. Yeah, I'm listed as a working group member, but as you know, I hadn't really participated on this PDP, not as attentively as I would have liked to. Just on the point of deferral, the GNSO operating procedures allow a GNSO counselor to defer a motion to the next meeting in the event that a stakeholder group or constituency requires more time to consider the subject of the motion. The approval to defer a motion is at the GNSO Council Chair's discretion. To date, I don't believe there has ever been a case where the Council Chair has refused a deferral. But however, the operating procedures do specify that a motion can only be deferred for one meeting. So if we defer it once, it cannot be deferred a second time. So that's just the just a short briefing on how motions are deferred. But just to be clear, my understanding is that it's understandable that we won't get everything we want to out of any single PDP. But my understanding, please correct me if I'm mistaken, so we do have a full working group consensus, and we don't have any minority statements in the final report. Correct, Kathy?
There were no minority statements filed, as far as I know, by anyone in any constituency, including the non-commercial stakeholders group, NPOC, or NCUC.
Okay, thanks.
There were rumors about them, but they were never filed. And again, everybody seemed to fight long and hard and, frankly, fairly to try to get a balanced report, and that's what we tried to deliver. Thanks, Hunter.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much, and thanks to Stephanie and David and James for the huge effort you put on this PDP. So would you recommend that our counselors vote in favor of this motion?
Are you there? I hear a noise. Hello? Am I disconnected?
It's okay. No, you're on. Keep talking.
Okay. Yes, I would. In terms of, let me just double check that voting in favor of the motion means sending it up to the board for approval.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Amr, you happy with that?
Hi, Stefani. Amr is gone off for a few minutes. We're trying to get him back on the line. I'll let you know as soon as he gets back. Thank you very much.
Okay. In the meantime, it seems that Sam has his hand up. Maybe we'll let Sam talk.
Great.
Sam? Sam, are you on? Also lack sound. We are having audio problems here and there.
Japani, this is Kathy. Can I do a little more talking in the background?
Yeah, you keep talking because nobody else can, apparently. Go ahead.
Okay. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong because I haven't been on council in about a million years, but it's my understanding that if this vote, whenever it takes place, is approved, then these guidelines, this report, goes up to the board. If the board approves it, then it goes to an implementation review team. I'm not quite sure how those are structured, but it will go to an implementation review team to work out the details of creating this new class of industry, this accredited proxy and privacy service providers. ICANN compliance will then play a role. And kind of a new set of entities will be created. So that's an interesting and exciting prospect. But that's what I understand the next steps are. And again, no opposition from non-commercial. I think somebody summarized it well, I think, in the registrars, which is, you know, it's not perfect, but it's the best we could do. It's balanced and probably a lot more than we expected.
It's always nice to hear that something comes up better than we expected.
We worked hard for that. I also hate to say it, I have to lead the call now to Pani, so I apologize to everyone for leaving. I will take a look at the most recent version that's circulated to make sure that nothing's being inserted that we don't expect. We understand some clerical errors are being circulated. I would recommend that we do not vote to defer, but obviously we're not going to object to someone else wanting time to read a 93-page report more closely. But I would urge people to read it, to ask us questions, and if our counselors are comfortable with it, to move forward. It does not create another PDP. It doesn't create another working group, except for the implementation review one. So it's a different issue in terms of time and other allocations for the future. We will need people on the implementation review team. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kathy. We still want to go into my PPSI. I think we had that fairly well covered at this point. No. Amr, do you have other items on the agenda on Tuesday to cover? Are you online again, Amr? Can you hear me? No. Okay, Amr is also still out. Does any other of our counselors present want to speak up some agenda item and talk about them? Do we want to talk about any of the public comments that are open? Seems that our councillors don't find any of them too interesting. At this point, I might put in a little piece of advertisement. Because one big item we are not talking about today is the CCWG, and that's because we're having a special call on that on Wednesday at 1600 UTC. So if that's your item of interest, dial in on Wednesday. Let's see. we want to talk about the CCTRT. The problem there is, okay, let's talk a little about that. The problem is that we don't really know still exactly how it's going to be decided. At the last plan I heard from James Bledel, circulating around, was that each stakeholder group would have to or could nominate 3 people to endorse. And if that holds, it seems to me that we will have a reasonably easy election, although, of course, it's up to the councillors to choose. But I'm still waiting for confirmation that I hope that James doesn't hold it all the way until Thursday and then to announce, so this is the way we do, are you ready? But that's about all I really know at this point. Anybody else want to? Okay, let's go back to the police. It seems we don't have any of the agenda items otherwise. Nobody wants to talk about anything? Seems we are degenerated into just chat. Okay, Amory, you're back. You want to pick up this? You still have something in the agenda items we missed? Haven't been covering yet. Amory?
Hi, Tapani. Yeah, apologies. My line had dropped for a few minutes. I'm actually not sure where we are on the agenda.
Well, basically, whatever, and there's the agenda that you haven't covered yet. Pick up. We talked for a few moments about the CCTRT, but we don't have anything much to say about that. So, any of the other stuff you pick up where you left?
Well, Stephanie's not on the call, and she worked on the GNSO review of the GAC communique from I don't think it was the Dublin meeting, but she I don't see her on today's call, so I would have liked her to speak to this, but that should be a fairly harmless exercise. Did you guys already cover the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review team?
I just briefly pointed out what I know of the situation, but we did not talk about the candidates or anything.
I don't know. We can talk about the candidates. There's quite a long list of candidates with a lot of information. I am a bit concerned with the process the GNSO Council is following to make its selection. Just because I think the GNSO Council is really not a selection endorsement, actually. GNSO Council I feel has never been a very good group that comes to either endorsing an individual or selecting an individual, and we had this whole discussion about selecting a participant to the CCWG to travel to LA on behalf of GNSO. I just think it usually gets kind of messy. Like I said, there is a long list of candidates. There's a number of NCSG members who are candidates asking for GNSO endorsement. And just to be clear, GNSO endorsement does not mean that you will be. I mean, if the GNSO does actually endorse any of the NCSG members, that doesn't mean that you're on the review team. It just means that you have GNSO endorsement, and then folks who make the actual selection will take that into consideration. Does anyone have any questions on this, and or any concerns that they would like us to raise on Thursday? Thursday, the GNSO Council, I believe, is going to vote on who to endorse, and we don't even have a short list of candidates of who the council should be voting for. So I will personally be interested to see how the council manages to pull this off. I would like to hear thoughts from others on this. I think it's kind of a messy situation. Thank you.
I can add a little bit to, I guess you missed when you were off call, that a few days ago, James Bledel circulated a proposal of this among chairs, and the last proposal was basically that each stakeholder group would get to name 3 candidates who would be endorsed. But I have not found a confirmation. It basically, nobody objected to it, but I haven't heard him to call it. That's the way we do it, and time is running short.
Okay, so the NCSG basically has between now and Thursday to decide on three candidates that we would like the GNSO to endorse, right?
That's the way it would be. But as I said, it's still not being confirmed. I'm waiting for James to do whatever he does about that.
Okay, well, what we could do, I guess, is try to prepare ourselves for that scenario in the event that it does happen. And maybe over the next 2 days, we can try to determine, kind of pick three names out of that list. And hold on, let me put a link to that list of candidates in the Adobe Connect room so that folks can take a look at it if they like. Okay, I just put it in the chat. And we could probably take this on the policy committee list and try to try to figure out if there are three names out of that list that we would like the GNSO to endorse. Thanks.
Yeah. Anything else about the Thursday agenda you want to talk about, Amr, or anybody else?
This is Amr again. I believe we've gone through the motions. There is also going to be a discussion item on the cross-community working group and the process by which the GNSO as a chartering organization will either vote in favor or against the CCWG's third draft report. I know Ed's on the call, and I believe Robin's also on the call, and there are two of the very active NCSG members on this group, and it would be great to hear some thoughts from them. Thanks.
Amr, because we are going to have a separate call on CCWG tomorrow. So,
that's true.
So no need to discuss too much about it today.
Okay, so the discussion we'll have tomorrow on tomorrow's call is going to be to prepare our counselors for Thursday's discussion.
Yeah, about the CCWG stuff, yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right, thanks. So as far as I'm concerned, then I think we're okay with the agenda, unless there's any others who would like to bring up anything else.
Didn't sound like it. How about the open public comments we have? Any of them that any of our counselors or anybody else has any interest in? Doesn't sound like it. So it seems to me we're basically...
Really.
Yeah?
I do. There is one open public comment that I would urge folks to take a look at, and this is it's a public comment period on the work of an implementation review team, not a PDP working group. And this is the proposed implementation of the Thick Who Is policy. So I would ask folks to take a look at that report. It's not a very long document. And especially those of us who are active on Who Is topics, and then maybe we could prepare something on that. There was a lot of work done by ICANN staff and by ICANN legal and the implementation review team on sort of a process to mitigate any risks involving a conflict between the Thick Who Is policy and privacy and data protection laws. I'm not very happy with the process they came up with. So it kind of gives registrants the option to either give a waiver of their right to privacy or lose their domain name registration. But I would urge folks to just take a look at this. I think we still have until maybe mid-January to provide a comment, but that's the only open public comment period that I am aware of that I am kind of interested in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe the deadline for that one is, 18 January, is the one I'm looking at.
I think so. That is correct.
And none of the others is of any interest to anybody? Maybe the GTLD Marketplace Health Index proposal expiring 8 January is one of them we might want to work on. Oh, well, just note those for that you might be interested in them. Nothing else. But it seems we've covered our agenda and in record time, or more or less, so I'm not going to hold you if you don't want to talk about anything else. Anybody wants to comment anything of interest at this point? No? So let's call the meeting. Okay, Marilia, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Tapani. Marilia speaking. Just a quick information on how the Cross-Community Working Party on Human Rights is going. After our last meeting, we have decided to divide ourselves into subgroups. So right now we have subgroups dedicated to different things, such as there's one dedicated mapping of ICANN policies and procedures and how they interrelate with human rights presented in a more visual way. There is another one devoted to collecting case studies in which human rights have been implicated in ICANN and building up kind of a case studies database. There is another one only devoted to who is and privacy issues, one on new GTLDs and how this interrelates with human rights. So just to say that all these groups, I think they have had their first calls in the past 2-3 weeks, and they have created kind of short charters, not charters because it's not formal, but documents kind of to guide what their goals are and kind of to do a timeline of what are the things that they want to deliver. And it's all taking place and being circulated in the main list of the CCWP, and other lists have been created for the subgroups. So just to let you know, if you want to join any of the subgroups, there are specific mail lists for that. Just send an email to the CCWP, to News, who is facilitating the work, or to Marianne, and you can be added to the list easily. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. That was a useful update on that. Let's see, Amory wants to speak again.
Yes, please. Thank you, Tapani. Very, very quickly, I just want to say that the NCSG Policy Committee had begun a discussion quite a while ago following the call for volunteers that Tapani had circulated regarding the GNSO Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation. The discussion took a little longer than it was supposed to, which is probably my fault. But I believe we have more or less settled on two candidates from the non-commercial stakeholder group for a primary and alternate representative to this GNSO committee. I will circulate an email to the policy committee list just asking for confirmation of this, and then hopefully Tapani can announce who the policy committee has selected to be the NCSG representatives for the next year. So I just wanted to mention this right now, and hopefully we can finalize this soon. The SCI has begun a process to elect a chair for the new year, and it would be a good thing for the NCSG's primary and alternate representatives to be confirmed before this election cycle is over. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Amriya. That would be nice to get done. Okay. Any other items? Nobody else wants to speak? Okay. So, as noted, even though we still have time, but if we have nothing urgent, I think we all have other urgent things to do, so let's call this meeting closed. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, and bye.
Marta, you may now stop the recording. Thank you very much.
Bye.